Hey everybody, welcome to the show. We are Let's Talk Divots, and we just had such a fantastic conversation with Gabby Lopez from Mexico. I gotta say, it was just flawless information coming from her. So many nuggets, didn't even have to do with golf necessarily. I think this is just gonna really resonate with everybody, not necessarily golfers, athletes, just people trying to get better at everyday life. What do you think, Ronnie?
Oh yeah, no, it was a great interview. Golf was probably, it was on the table, but it definitely wasn't the foremost thing we were talking about. Gabby's very well-read. She talked about a lot of different things and just growing up in Mexico, playing the game and what kind of legacy she wants to leave behind. She talked about going in a, you know, greenskeeper's room, talking to the greenskeepers, the kitchen help. It was just a real well-rounded conversation, I thought. Looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, professional and personal development, and that's just so key, especially, you know, everybody's got a lot of time on their hands these days, and I think if everybody can come out of these difficult times with one thing, and that's, you know, hopefully bettering yourself in one facet of your life, just to see some silver lining. I know some people are struggling in different ways than others, but, you know, she really helps provide some tools to change your life for the better, and that's what I love so much.
Yeah, she's a very positive woman, very positive out there, trying to always see the glass half full. I'm excited about it. Can't wait for you patrons out there to listen to it. So let's, without any further ado, let's get right into the Gabby Lopez conversation.
Let's let them dive in. Enjoy the show, everybody. Give us your feedback. Please like us, share us, leave us a note. We are at Let's Talk Divots, and we really, really appreciate that. It helps us jump up the ratings, and go ahead, enjoy this talk with Gabby Lopez.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Let's Talk Divots. We are absolutely excited to have Gabby Lopez staring at us on the computer screen. Hello, Gabby. How are you today?
Hey, Casey. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for bringing me into the program.
We're so happy to have you. And we have Ronnie. Ronnie, where are you at, buddy? We know you're in California. How are you, man?
No, everything is good here. Sun is shining finally. And we're all across the North American continent here. We got you up there in British Columbia, Gabby down in Mexico, and I'm here in Southern California. All good.
We're bringing a NAFTA podcast to you guys by the looks of it. Nice that we can all play nice. But we're gonna just hop right into it. We got so much to talk about. We've got a really good show lined up. And Gabby, what's happening down there? I think your ability, you're able to play golf right now. I saw an Instagram live with you a few days ago, and it seemed to me that you were on the golf course keeping sharp.
Sure. Yes. I've been very lucky that actually I came to Acapulco, which is a beach about 3 hours and a half away from Mexico City. Every golf course in Mexico, everything's shut down. And I was a little tired to hit balls into a net and not being able to see any progress with the ball flight. So basically, I came to Acapulco and I'm practicing at Tres Vidas, which is a club, a private club here in Acapulco. And I think it's a great opportunity because I think I'm very lucky to do something with my golf other than hitting balls into a net.
Yeah, and I'm going to just totally toss golf to the side for a second because I'm just a massive surfer. And now that I hear that you're on the beach in Acapulco, I was just in Michoacán just before the Bank of Hope surfing down there. And there's just awesome. Some great waves down there. So, have you been out in the water at all?
Not really. Actually, the government shut down all the access into the ocean. But, you know, we've been trying to get some walks into the beach and trying to relax as much as possible other than just playing golf because it's so hot out here that we can get tired very quickly.
Yeah, unprecedented times there that we're all going through. What sort of things are you doing to keep sharp when you are on the golf course?
Yeah, this is just a very weird time for everyone. And what I'm trying to do is just trying to mix up a little bit my routines and not trying to do the same thing over and over again. I think we get tired of, you know, the routines and having to change it up a little bit in the golf course, playing with my odds clubs and then playing with my, with different clubs, you know, and I have a friend of mine here in Acapulco as well. So we've been trying to play different games, which one hole whoever wins the hole takes a club out of the bag and from the opponents. And I think it's been really fun trying to practice in the mornings and work out in the afternoon more than anything.
Battle golf.
Exactly, battle golf. I mean, it's fun, and I recommend to play it at home. It comes difficult because you change your strategy. You try to play different three-quarter shots and fade, and then a huge draw to get the ball into the perfect number that you guys want to hit.
Yeah, those are great drills. I always get my elite juniors to do similar things with either odd numbers, even numbers, or take all the woods out of the bag and play off the forward tees. It really just crispens up your iron game. Another one which you might enjoy is you're going to have to take your own cart, but you and your playing partner each tee off the hole. If you you give yourself a 2-hour time limit. If you par the hole, you keep going. If you bogey the hole, you have to go back to that last tee. If you birdie the hole, you skip ahead. Might be a little bit of an easier game for somebody of your caliber, but that single-digit handicap, it really pushes them to aspire to the next level.
Yeah, for sure. I think it just makes your mind a little tighter than just making it a little broader.
Yeah, that's a great game. That sounds real interesting. I'm just sitting here. I like the odd and even game too, but, man, playing, if you don't get a par, you got to stay there. Bogey, you go back. Man, I'd be on the first tee for a while.
When you're doing it with like kids, they're hauling their own bag, right? So when they have to walk back to that tee box from the green, like you have essentially 10 plus minutes in your own head. The person you're playing with has already gone ahead because maybe they've parred, you know, because we'll do it in three or foursomes, and it's a really, really good reflection time as far as that mental capacity. Like, you know, the consequences are there. And that's, of course, as Gabby's, mixing it up with her random practice right now, really, really important, and why a lot of amateur golfers don't necessarily get better when they practice. So, cool. Well, let's jump into yet an amazing season start at the Tournament of Champions. We'd love to hear. I know you've probably talked about that a lot, but, actually, I was with Ron. We were in Southern California together, and we were watching that on the Golf Channel when you were in the playoff with NASA and had to come back the next day. So how was that? Was that like a dream start to the year? And can you just reflect a little bit on about that since then?
Oh gosh, for sure it has been a dream start, especially because November of 2019, I got a neck injury and I got into the hospital for a day and I had to do just lots of recovery for that injury. And to be honest, I never thought I would have been back again on the LPGA with the start and a win. Why? Because I spent probably 3 to 4 weeks on the range. Probably 95% of the time was hitting balls, and I shanked the ball a lot of times, and it was mentally very, very frustrating and very difficult because I came from a great 2019 season, and the neck injury had to make me change my swing completely. My downswing, I was actually kind of pressing too much pressure into my neck, and I had to shallow a little bit more the club to release the stress from the neck. So that changed to me. Imagine doing a movement for 25 years and now all of a sudden you got to change. And it's been brutal, the change. And to be honest, I never thought this would be the start. And just 3 days before going into Orlando, I started hitting the ball decently. Not even great, but decently. And I guess my caddy did an amazing job. I have to remark that to him. That he was very patient and he knew exactly what was going on with my body and how was the ball flight. So we kind of adjusted very well into the tournament and the numbers, and I changed clubs. So everything was pretty new for me. And coming into Orlando, I had probably 1 hour of practice in my off season. So as soon as I got to Orlando, I knew I had to hit some putts, and here we go. I mean, it was an amazing start. And yeah, playing with Imbi and NASA was probably the best experience that golf has ever given me, because playing with the player of the decade, someone that has dominated the tour for so many years and won so many major championships, and NASA, which is another Japanese star, is unbelievable to have just that under my belt.
I love how you...
Great finish. That was a great finish. You had seven-hole playoff against two of those. Envy Park, you're right, just a Hall of Famer. That we just sat, Casey and I watched, it was just incredible. Pulled for you the whole way. There were six birdies on the 18th hole. You had three of them. That was a phenomenal 18th. Par three was 197 or something like that. That was just, we just pulled for you the whole way through, though, just to let you know.
And the funny thing part is that it played just completely different Sunday to Monday. So having to go to bed knowing that the tournament wasn't the line of one single hole, and we came so far from, you know, hitting four iron, three hybrid and four hybrid and three and four and three hybrid, changing it up so much. We played probably in the 80s on Sunday, and then we woke up into the 40s on Monday. That was just such a brutal change into just the weather conditions. And, you know, my coach got into Orlando on that Sunday, and that was pretty fun to have him watch me win that tournament. It's just very special to have my whole team, because it was totally a team effort, since I had such a bad time into my off season and now coming into a win as a teamwork.
Well, now that you have that new swing, are you staying with that new swing? Obviously you're still working on it. And how's it feeling now?
Yeah, I'm still trying to prove it. It's still not perfect, still not where my coach wants it to be, but it's improved a lot. So yeah, I'm sticking to that, and hopefully kind of gives me more consistency over the next few months and hopefully in my career, because it has been that game changer that my, you know, iron play has improved a lot, including my strategy with my caddy. So hitting greens in regulation has totally been the biggest change.
Well, change is good. Blessing in disguise. So,
right.
That's an incredible story. I know how difficult swing changes are. And just to shed a little light on that, I was with Sean Foley watching Justin Rose when he was the number one world on the planet. And I asked Sean about some changes that they'd worked on. And what he told me was, in 10 years of working with Justin Rose, they have been working on the exact same thing for a decade. They haven't changed, obviously minor things a little there, but I just want the amateur listeners to think about that when they're getting lessons from their, you know, their local pro or something. This is Gabby's one of the top players on the planet, you know, talking Justin Rose as well, like a decade working on the same thing, you know? So if, when you think you're going to go in there for a package of three lessons and get everything sorted out, just maybe keep that in mind. But an incredible story, Gabby. And you know, you put a lot of emphasis on your team. I love hearing you give your shout out to your caddy as a caddy. So can you just talk about the importance of surrounding yourself with in being on the same page as your coach, your manager, your caddy, and just like the importance of team?
For sure. I think I have enough thankful words for my team. They have been the biggest support. Including my family. You know, I have nutritionists, I have a trainer, I have my psychologist, my caddy, my family, my coach, my boyfriend. Everyone just comes into a bucket, and it's about synchronizing the energy to place it and, you know, chasing it the right way. And yes, it's a teamwork. And like you said, changes don't come as one day to another. We just have to work into the same things. But yeah, I think, you know, the chemistry with the caddy, I don't think they get deserved all the credit enough, because they do a ton of work out there. And it's unbelievable how much they can help us as, you know, as players, women or men, both. I think they're doing an amazing job, and especially mine, just getting to know me under pressure. I think that's the difference between, you know, a great caddy and a good caddy, being able to know, well, how am I going to react under a very stressful situation how am I going to react when I hit into the water, or when I make a birdie and I make another birdie in the next hole. So just the self-talk as in my part, and then him talking to me the right way, it just brings magic into the team.
I just want to know your strategy about that 18th hole playoff there. Was it, just again, as a golf nut watching, is there any talk about attacking that pin at all? Or was it always just stay out to the right? This is a hard hole. We're hitting hybrids in here. It's a high pressure situation. Let's make the 25 footer or wait for NASA to make a mistake. Can you talk about that a bit?
Sure. We knew we were not going to win with a par. But at the same time, I talked to the rules official and I told them, hey, we're going to change the hole. I mean, this is a pretty hard hole and we might be stuck here for the next 9 holes. And my caddy said, we've been swinging it very well with this hybrids. We're going to hit it into the same spot. And you've read that putt so many times, one is going to drop. So of course we wanted to hit it closer, but it was pretty, pretty hard because we had the water in the left and the pin was just tucked next to the water. And so we hit to the same spot. People have told me that I needed NASA to hit it close for me to make the birdie. And you know what? I've thought of it and I think so. I think when she hit it close, for me, it's either I make the putt or I lose the tournament. And that just made myself make like a tighter mindset, more determined shot. And I knew that was like my last chance to have a chance to win the tournament. And I was lucky to have make a good stroke and get the ball in the hole. And I mean, it went my way.
You're not kidding. You talk about mindset so much. And, I've heard some information out there about a meditation. And I'm just wondering, as a somebody who has a practice themselves, about how that impacts you on the golf course, if you have the ability to not get lost in thought so much, and just wondering if you could talk about that, if my information even is correct.
Sure. Yeah. 100%. When I was in college, my college coach Shauna Estes, she introduced this mental program into the team, and it's called Fluid Motion Factor, which it's directed by Stephen Yelling. And basically what it does, it's like a golf meditation, and it helps you basically bring into the stillness, bring in the quiet time into a golf swing. And I think that has helped me a lot, along with my meditation outside of the golf course. So it's very hard when we want to shut out our mind and just trying to have this quiet and peace time into a shot when you have so much pressure and stress. So this technique has helped me a lot. And I guess it all comes with acceptance, being able to accept the result before it even happens. And that has been the biggest change I've made in my career, knowing that whatever happened that day, I was going to still be Gabby Lopez.
Is there any information that the listeners could, is it just Googling, a matter of Googling the fluid motion factor, or is there a book or something that you maybe recommend?
There's a book, right. There's a book. And I think I would just totally recommend, amateur golfers to start on that book, read it, go through it. And he gives actually the program physically, so you can contact him through email, I guess. I think it's in the book. And just go, if you're so interested into having a peace, quiet mind in golf, that's a great tool that would help your game just be more fluid.
I will definitely put a link in the show notes for our listeners, and just to continue to touch on that, I think especially the club golf level, if you're competing for your club championships or whatever, the difference about golf is golf's over. One of my buddies is an alpine skier for Team Canada, and his time to perform is a minute and a half. Okay, so many of these sports, he's going for a minute and a half where he has to focus, where what you know, what club golfers don't really understand is that for 5 hours over the course of 4 days, you have to try to, you know, stay in the moment. You know, of course, you know, your thoughts are going to drift. Right. You're going to have caddy chatting. It's just really, really extremely difficult. So this fluid motion factor, mindfulness tools, just extremely beneficial out there on the golf course.
Right. I think also, you know, if you want to, I think golf is a perfect example in sport that shows your personality outside and inside the golf course as how you react under pressure, right? So if you have a very stressful situation, how are we going to react into the shot and post routine shot? So it just, I think we got to work also outside of the golf course, not only inside, to be able to make a big, big change.
Well, yeah, just to touch on that, like Gabby just said, you know, if you're throwing golf clubs out there when you're getting angry, maybe you're throwing golf clubs in life when you're getting angry as well. So keeping your not acting on your emotions is one of the biggest impacts on my lifetime as well. So that's awesome information, Gabby. Thank you so much. The current COVID climate, you know, obviously is really shaking up everybody's view of what normal life was and is. And just while we're on this mindfulness topic, how has your perspective changed, if it has, on a personal level about what's important in your life moving forward?
For sure. I think this pause has been probably one of the best things that has ever happened to me. I didn't have the time to spend and enjoy my family as much as I do now. And as it could sound very, very nasty that we're all stuck in our houses and probably boring at times, being able to, you know, chat with my family, being able to spend time with my friends, being able to have deep conversations, I think that's what life is about. It's not about, you know, the media. It's not about the likes and Instagram and commercials. It's about how we're going to connect with more human beings. And this pause has for sure kind of led me into that way, into that path, into even connecting with myself, you know, being able to have the time to read. I put a lot of excuses before, and now being able to read and have some quiet and peace time and knowing exactly what's going into Gabby's head so I can learn and keep going and kind of build a stronger path for the future.
Sounds like you're, you know, all about the personal growth, and we really love that. It reminds me of a quote of just like, you're never going to find time for anything. You have to make time, you know? So
correct.
When you're talking about your, you know, maybe I'll read or I need to read more, you know, like if something's truly important to you, you're going to make time. And whether that's, you know, we've all been guilty when, you know, especially on the road when we're living out of suitcases, family, friends, yoga, meditation, whatever it is, you know, like you actually, I think that's all, we've all taken a step back and just like, you know, we're, it's not all about clicking open that phone and just seeing the instant gratification. I think it's important,
right,
even though there's some mental health issues out there, probably about being able to be comfortable in your own mind, you know, like 20 years ago, we didn't have all these outlets to just, you know, take our attention elsewhere. It's really important to go for a walk, you know, read a book, just sit in your thoughts. Like that's where you can solve so many personal issues that way.
Exactly. I have a friend of mine here in Acapulco, and her name is Fernanda Lira. And she has been probably the biggest asset of this pause. Like she has taught me what an authentic person is, and being comfortable under your own skin is exactly what this is teaching me. You know, being able to sit and reflect, which who's Gabby, and am I happy with the person I am right now?
Well, you're very successful on the golf course. You're very humble. You're down to earth. You're a good-looking lady. You're becoming a role model. We had Alana Uriel, a schoolmate of yours, on the other day, and she said how you took her under your wing and you really made her feel comfortable when she was out on tour. And you got a platform that moves the needle on and off the course. What kind of pressure does that bring to you?
I don't think it brings, I think, pressure. I think pressure is something that we create. each one of us. And if I put pressure, it'll be when someone probably is putting a gun into my head. I think that's pressure. But what I think is you're talking about is about motivation. You know, someone else did it to me, and I'm so motivated to, you know, keep pushing, keep helping girls to get better, helping the next girl get into the LPGA, dream big, win a, you know, LPGA tournament. I never thought I was gonna win two tournaments probably in 4 years, and now it becomes reality, because I think we all have to be opened into looking into our mistakes to improve them. I think that's the key, and that's what I've been trying to tell Alana, to tell all these girls that want to be pro, to take a minute and write down things that go through their mind and learn from their mistakes. I don't think it's a negative thing. I think it's a positive thing that we take a look into what are we doing wrong to make it right.
How has golf helped you grow as a person outside, off the course?
Okay, so I was a very athletic girl when I was growing up. I was a gymnast. I did swimming. I did football. I mean, soccer. I did dancing classes. So that kind of helped my ability to coordinate my body a little bit. But I think the biggest and the best thing that happened to me when I was a kid was being able to compete very healthy with my brothers. My parents did an amazing job with, you know, creating these little competitions inside my family, as in, I'm going to give you 10 pesos if you run and touch that wall, and whoever comes back is going to get it. And, you know, those creating that environment, healthy competitiveness, that kind of brings this strong, determined girl later in the years.
Yeah, as a coach, I think most of the elite junior females that I come across, and especially talking to tour girls, seems like, and again, just, you know, to keep it, you know, as politically correct here, but there is some, you know, physical differences between women and males, but just the best junior right. females were typically kind of hanging out with the boys, trying to keep up, you know, getting, taking on extra carry, swinging harder, taking big flop shots, and just yeah. like a little, you know, boys generally, as a general consensus, can be a little bit more extremely behaviored. So sounds like, how many brothers do you have? And just, can you continue to touch on that a bit?
Yeah, I have two brothers. They're fraternal twins. So they're 3 years younger than me, and they were the perfect push into my sport career. And I mean, I recommend that to, you know, to have your kids compete against each other when it's something healthy, when you teach your kids that, you know, losing is also a good thing, that you have to applaud to the winner. You have to cheer until someone makes it better than you, not trying to make comparison, but trying to, you know, push into doing things a little better. And I think it's a very healthy way of, you know, kind of growing up, build this skill that later in your career, in the business perspective, into, you know, sports world, into real life, just relationships. I think it's very, very good that we have this mindset of, hey, we can always be better.
No participation trophies, as Christina Kim says. So, well, you've talked about, you know, failures setting you up for success, competition. And I mean, is there a failure, or how has failure or an apparent failure set you up for later success or growth? Do you have a favorite failure or something that you can touch on that has really motivated you and really impactful on a future outlook?
Sure. I think the biggest failure has been inside my mind for so long. Let's say my first win was China in 2018, and in February I got a back injury. I tear a disc, and I had to be 6 weeks out of competition, and mentally that was devastated. I had to reset my mindset. I had to kind of reprogram who was Gabby. And I was talking really badly to myself, and just building that into probably the biggest surprise in my life, which was my first LPGA win later that November. How to remain calm through a rainstorm. I think that's, you know, the biggest challenge that we are gonna face when we don't see the solution, when we don't see the exit, when we don't see the light. We just gotta become very, very conscious of our feelings, and we gotta be very patient that this is gonna pass through. This is not gonna be forever. And sometimes we are, as women, or and myself, just talking to about me, I'm a little bit dramatic that I don't see, you know, the solution right away. I want it right now. I want the swing to be perfect in the minute. And I have learned to be patient and knowing that things are gonna go away sooner or later, and something good is gonna become a part of this failure.
I hate to wish ill will on you, but it really sounds like you bounced back from injuries extremely well. Like nobody I've ever heard. Two serious injuries, two wins. That's crazy to think. I do not wish that ill will on you. Injury, you know, nothing we want to deal with.
I know.
You know, Ron was talking about your platform, and you know, we know your Lorena Ochoa was a big part of being a mentor. And when we look at that big platform, I guess, like, what kind of opportunities then do you see out of having the reach that you have? And is there something that you want to be of service for because of that platform, you know, a greater good, or, you know, like an impact that you see off the golf course?
Sure. You know, I've been kind of going very deeply into that part into these last few days, and something that I want to be remembered of is not what I've done or what I did in the golf course, but what I want to do outside of the golf course, and being able to touch lives just like Lorena touched mine and inspire these little girls. And for us, it's just extremely, extremely easy to sign a golf ball and give it to a little girl. And that smile, that feeling of, you know, her looking at you as you're a superhero is probably the biggest satisfaction on tour for me. And that's something that I love to be able, because there was one time that I was that little girl looking into Suzanne Pedersen, Annika Sorenstam, Lorena Ochoa. And now I have that responsibility to do the same thing. And you never know who's going to become the next superstar. And I don't know. I just, that love, I'm in totally in love with that part of the game.
Yeah. I've noticed that, you know, just being on tour, it seems like, you know, almost all the women have really, really taken that, you know, they're so great with the fans, especially the young fans. And it's just extremely awesome for us to see. So, well, can you talk about Lorena Ochoa a bit? And you were mentioning to us about some stuff that you're involved in as far as, you know, in Guadalajara and some charities, and please talk about that.
So I met Lorena when I was 13 years old. I've always been a huge fan since I'm probably 7 years old. But I met her when I was 13 at her golf club. I was invited to practice with her by her coach, and that day changed my life. She was actually getting to number one in the world. And, you know, being with her, practicing with world number one, and having her approach to be so humble, to be so opened, that totally inspired my career and led me into professional golf. And she, when you ask and tour about Lorena, everyone reminds her as the best number one outside of the golf course. She was so kind to sit down with the maintenance team, with the gardeners, when she had a time, because most of the gardeners in the States and the golf courses are Mexican. So having the time to spend you know, an hour, 2 hours with them, that's someone that she taught me. And I'm trying to do the same thing. I think is it takes nothing from my time, and I think it just gives back so much to the sport. And another thing that I'm involved in is her charity. She has this amazing charity in Mexico, in Guadalajara, which is basically a school for low-income people that they don't have probably the resources to have a good breakfast before to go to school. All these kids, they have been being fed in school. They take classes, they go to school, they learn, and some after school, they have lunch in the school. And they have this recreational activities, they have sports, and later in the day, they go back home to do some homework. So it's a very unique school, since we don't have that system in Mexico that provides breakfast and lunch. And for low-income people, that has changed people's and kids' life, for sure. And the amount of heart, the amount of love that she puts into this amazing charity has inspired me to love it as much as she does. And we've met some amazing people, and being able to, you know, support with some scholarships and as much as I can to kind of bring up that foundation is one of the things that I'm proud of.
If the listeners want to find any information of that, is there a website or something that they can go to? And again, I'll put the show notes out there. Please tell anybody if they're curious.
Sure. It's Lorena Ochoa Foundation. Just like that. Just Google that and try to translate it in Spanish, because that probably take you directly into the website. And I think she has it in her website, and it's very, very straightforward. Lorena Ochoa Foundation.
Yeah, that brings me up, like, for sure, the translation is really important. We know you're a superstar. I was in Guadalajara, really recently chatting with a really good golf friend of mine. We go play at the Atlas Club there. He's Gabby Lopez this, Gabby Lopez, you know, talking about. But when we look up information, you know, through the U.S. or Canada or something, because, you know, everything's in English up here, there's just very, very little information. So we're hoping, you know, through our podcast of getting international people on here such as yourself, and just changing that aspect a little bit, because I'm sure if we spoke Spanish on a more fluent level and typed some proper unmisspelled words on there, we could find all the information in the world on you down there.
For sure.
Well, Lorena, couldn't have picked a better person to pass the baton off to. You've taken that baton and ran with it, and I love seeing you in the kitchen, passing out gifts to the kitchen help. You go down to the greenskeeper into the back, and it really moves people's lives when you yourself, just like Lorena did to you, you show up in the kitchen. Those workers in there are so grateful. It's memories that they'll take forever. And I just want to say thank you. I've seen you do it. They're so overwhelmed when you go walking in there. It's wonderful to see. And I'm very proud of you for taking that baton and running with it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. And you know why I do it? Because I don't think they get deserved the credit enough. We go play week after week, and the golf courses are in amazing shape. And I mean, to be honest, players don't even know how much time, how much effort. I mean, they wake up at 3 a.m. and they go to bed at probably 10 or 11. And, you know, all the work that has been put into the scenes is something that we need to be more grateful of, for sure.
100%. Without the Mexican help up here in the United States, there's no restaurant that stays open. There's no lawn that's not cut. We had a little strike, the Mexican strike, for one day. They need to strike for a month to really show the impact. There's not anywhere to go. I just love the Mexican culture and everybody and the hard workers they are. I mean, they keep America going. Nobody knows it, but they truly do.
They do.
Again, that's the epitome of using your platform for selfless acts, in my opinion, and you seem to be really wise beyond your years. What people or activities make you feel most relieved when you get home from the road or the golf course? You know, when you've just had that tireless time out there, or 3-4 week stretch. Can you speak on that a bit?
Sure. There's nothing like spending time with my family, as in playing card games or playing marathon. Marathon or Monopoly and just playing different games in my house with, you know, with my brothers and parents. We're all very, very competitive and just we like to win even playing ping pong or, but yeah, that's some of the things that I love to do is spending time with my family as much as I can. And we love to go to the movies. We love to also even play this funny game in the golf course, the five of us, because in Mexico, we're allowed to play in five.
Sure. So and eat tacos at the turn. I know all about that.
And tacos at the turn, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, being able to compete and play against them and, you know, do some bonding time is probably the best.
And food, I mean, Mexican culture, food is huge. Like I said, I've spent a ton of time down there. I love aguachile is my absolute favorite dish.
Yes.
Let's just talk a little bit about Mexican food. I'm struggling up here in Canada. Our Mexican food is terrible.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, any kind of tacos, it's a great dish. But you know what? Surprisingly, seafood is also another strength into the Mexican cuisine. I mean, it's... You have all this kind of different shrimp. You've got different kind of dishes with lobster, with crab,
ceviche.
Ceviche. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just the freshness that it comes into like very hot weather places. You know, you want to have something that is not a soup or something that is not rice. And yeah, so I think not only tacos, but seafood, it has also been a huge part of our cuisine.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where's your spice level at? What do you like?
To 1 to 10, I mean, you don't know how extreme spices get into here in Mexico until you try them. So I'm gonna rank as a Mexican at probably a 6, but I mean, if I go to the States, I'm probably at an 8 or 9.
I was just gonna say a 10. A 6 in Mexico is a 10 up here.
And yeah. you're pretty famous for alcoholic beverages. Are you tequila or mezcal?
Oh my gosh, I'm tequila.
Uh-huh.
100%. Mezcal, it's a little strong for me. To be honest, I don't drink that much. I love to have a good margarita every once in a while, a gin and tonic sometimes, and wine. That's probably my 3 go-to drinks, but nothing with mezcal or vodka is under my list.
Well, we talked about a few more questions here. When you are feeling overwhelmed or under focused or you've lost focus, is it meditation that brings you back? Is there something else, an activity that that brings you back when you're feeling those anxious anxieties?
Yeah, when I become unfocused, what I try to do is bring my consciousness back, my mind back to where I want it to be. And I try to write down what I'm feeling, trying to be like an observer of what's happening inside of me. And I keep a journal with me every single tournament, every single round. I have something to write on into it. So 100%. Is writing down stuff that I think is happening into myself or things that I'm afraid of or things that I'm anxious about. That it's, you know, most of the times we're anxious because we think that something bad is going to happen in the future. And that's exactly what kind of trends to bring back my mind into the present moment, knowing that almost not everything that we think as something negative is going to happen, actually happens. We tend to kind of put this dramatic stage outside that this something extremely bad is going to happen and it just doesn't end up happening. And, you know, I also have my team to remind me of those times.
We're always our own worst enemy. You're totally right. So by writing these anxieties or fears or things you're unsure about down, would you say that because you've written it down, you've almost accepted it and you have a much more ability to move on?
100%. So what I do is I write down the fears, anxieties, all what's making me uncomfortable. And just below that, I write solutions. So how, when, and who is gonna make me help bring the solutions into the play, So yeah, so I try to kind of bring up the light when I'm in the middle of the storm, right? And so yeah, trying to be aware of what can I do today to help it become a little bit better. And if there's no solution at all, like you said, I try to accept it and try to live with it as in a peaceful way.
That seems so easy to do, like for people to just, you know, grab a maybe it's one of those things that we can all work on in the COVID time. But do you actually use a physical journal with a pen and paper, or are you on a laptop? You know, just go, you know, maybe to help anybody listening to this to help improve just any little bit of their life.
So I'm a very spiritual girl, and not as in a Catholic way or a religious way, just as spiritual as in general. And I think that when we put into the universe what we want to happen and what do we don't want to happen, the universe kind of works with you and brings into you the possibilities that you want things to be true. So yeah, I write down things physically, and I like to, every single time that I'm writing down, to listen to this classical music or to this waterfalls. So every single time I'm, let's say, in the golf course, I listen to a waterfall or some river flowing. I kind of connects me to that moment, you know, to the solution. So I have some little triggers that help me kind of bring back Gabby into the present moment.
Helps with routine too, right? I think even if we're talking golf course, mindfulness, you know, self-improvement, routine is just really, really, you know, whether exercise, you get up and, you know, that's when you do it. It's all about establishing that, you know, those moments that you're going to go through that give you familiarity, give your brain familiarity when you can really, really make some change.
For sure. Discipline is probably the biggest thing into anyone's life, you know, being able to wake up and do it even though you're boring and you're bored or you are with no energy at all.
So how do you stay disciplined out there? What is that when you wake up and you're like, I've got to practice? What's that intrinsic vocation, that driver? What gets you?
So what gets me every single day, and yeah, of course, I have days that I don't want to get out of bed.
For sure.
Especially with this uncertainty that, oh, when is this going to be over? Should I take more days off or not? But what is kind of pushing me all the time is Tokyo 2021.
Yes.
That's exactly what is pushing me every single day to be able to achieve what I've dreamt of for so long. But it's something that kind of seems impossible when I first started playing golf, and now it comes a closer reality. And I know that the only way that I can achieve or get close to that is working hard. That's one of the things that I'm actually very fortunate also is to have my coach. He's pushing me every single day into, hey, are you doing this? Did you remember of, you know, this little detail, or are you doing something that you told me you were going to do it, but you didn't do it yesterday? You know, just, I think it's very important to have people as determined and as disciplined as you to be able to achieve your dreams, because it's very easily to fall into these pitfalls of, you know, laziness or, oh yeah, this is not going to happen, so it's okay.
Good coach, good caddy, people holding you accountable, and also just talking about your goals, having that stuff out there with your team so everybody can get on the same page. You know, I think it's really important in a team environment to have that information out there, to be transparent as possible, because if nobody knows Gabby's goals, then nobody's going to be able to get, you know, help you with that. So just finding the right people, coaches, imperative to you know, this being held accountable. I think that's just an awesome point there.
Exactly. And being everyone in the same, like you said, in the same channel, like having this communication is key, because if you're doing something and one part of your team doesn't know that you're doing a change, then there could be some miscommunications and essentially some problems.
We're cognizant of your time here, Gabby, and I promise we only have a few more questions. But let's just get into Tokyo a little bit. I work for Kelly Tan. We filled out all the paperwork. We were both looking forward to heading to Tokyo there, and obviously you competed in 2016, tied for 31st or something like that. Don't quote me. And just obviously really, really important to you to represent Mexico, 2021. What's that look like moving forward to you, your Olympic dream, which you've already achieved, but talk about that.
Right. When I was growing up, I was a gymnast, and actually my dream come true would have been being an Olympic medalist as a gymnast, and that didn't happen. I'm actually happy that didn't happen, because that was a very stressful sport. But yeah, now having the reality even closer and closer, and knowing that I can get Gabby into the right mood, into the right mindset under pressure, now that I've won 2 times, has helped me a lot with, building confidence, building this visualization, that it's helping me kind of have my picture even more clear. And so I think Tokyo 2021 is going to be probably the second biggest event I've ever played, because Rio 2016 was an experience I'll never forget. But I think that, a medal will be something that I'm looking forward to, but I'm not dying to have. I know that if I put the work in, there's so many things that I can't control. And if I do the little things every day, I'll probably get close to that. And that's the plan, being able to work every single day with no regrets into my goal, which is Tokyo 2021.
Well, congratulations on making the Olympic team the first time around. That's an accomplishment not too many people can say, but I can, whether it's in gymnastics or golf, I could see you on a podium holding a trophy, holding a medal. You've got the drive. You can go do it. You can do anything you want, and you surround yourself with the right team. Got a good outlook on life. It's going to be very exciting to watch you compete again.
Hopefully, yeah.
And watching, we're on video here to the listeners, but I watched Gabby perk up when we talked about the Olympics there. So not that she wasn't already perky, but we can see some intrinsic motivation there. Moving into the Olympics clearly means a lot to her. Also the representing the her country and the Mexican colors that you wear on Sunday, moving into that that transition there, that's your like Tiger Woods red shirt there, is your Sunday Mexican colors.
100%. And I do it, I do it for my country, I do it for my family, I do it for the people that want to get better at golf, but I do it for my country. We have been having a hard time, politically, and now that, we have to kind of change the focus a little bit, and be able to relate with more Mexican people and get golf to be more popular here. It's been one of my goals for sure. But wearing the Mexican colors Sunday, every Sunday, and in Tokyo and or Rio is my biggest honor.
So cool. So cool. I've got a little bit of, and excuse my journalism here, but this is new to Ronnie and I both, with our research and what we have to do, but we have a little insider information. We're just going to bring a little bit of fun back into this. And can you talk a little bit about your nickname Poyo, please?
Sure. So when I got to Arkansas for the first time, my parents and my coaches were playing in the same group, and I was playing with them. And my assistant coach, Mike Adams, he hit a putt and he left it probably 4 to 5 feet short. And my dad said, "Hey, there's some chicken left in that bone." And it just brought up like, "Hey, what is chicken is in Spanish?" And we said pollo, and it's like, "Okay, pollo." So to be honest, every single time that my coach, Shauna or Mikey, would leave a putt about 4 to 5 feet, I would say, like, hey, there's some pollo left in that phone.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Love that. And Alana actually spoke, to the highest regard about your coach. Well, not only you, but also the Arkansas's coach, Shauna. She went into quite detail about how impactful she was on just her life so far. So sounds like a great, you ladies have been had some great mentorship throughout your stages here.
100%. Yeah. What Shauna was best at was taking care of the girls as human beings and not as golfers. And I feel like at home, I feel as in a family member up there in Arkansas. And that's one of the things that I was looking forward the most, coming from another country, different culture, language, everything was new. So she did an amazing job taking care of the girls and including them into the team, including into the program, and making us be more grateful of the opportunities that we have, and better people than better golfers.
A great program in Arkansas is for female golf, from what I understand, and hopefully we get back there, Gabby. That's the first start back on tour. Ron's looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. What would it be like to, Mike Wan seems pretty, who knows what's going to happen, but starting again in Arkansas.
Oh my gosh, that'll be another dream come true. So first week of the year, I get a win in Orlando and then come back to my second home. That'll be very special, being able to kind of know that everyone's going to have so much energy to play, to watch golf and to cheer on the Razorbacks. I think that's going to be extra special. Who knows what's going to happen, like you said, but we're staying positive and hoping that this goes away quicker than later.
The energy around any sport is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait to get back. we are all going to be so I'm going to be salivating and just so appreciative. like I was already appreciative of being out there, but like it's going to be next level now. Unreal.
100%.
What's something absurd or quirky that you do? This could be on the golf course, off the golf course. I'll give you an example just to help your thought process. When I golf, I have 3 tees in my pocket. They have to be wood tees. I don't like those plastic ones. I have to have a toonie for marking my ball, a Canadian toonie. It's a $2 coin. And those free divot repair tools that they hand out at the golf courses. I don't like anything bulky.
Free, libre. Three.
Yeah. So that's kind of like my weird thing. I don't know.
Okay. I only have a couple, and the biggest and the most important one is marking my ball with a very old Mexican coin. I have this 1968 coin that my boyfriend gave me, and which has the Olympic logo printed into the coin, which Mexico hosted that year, the Olympic Games. So I mark my ball with that coin every time, every single time. And if I lose, there was one time that I lost it for one hole, and oh my gosh, I went crazy. And actually it was at Diamond Resorts. I was in Orlando. I went crazy. I was putting so well, and then I lost the ball mark for 2 holes, and I was going nuts. So my boyfriend went back to the hole that I lost it, and we had all the volunteers looking for it.
It was during a tournament round? During a tournament? Oh, wow.
During the third round, yeah. So, we got it back, and that was like a good lucky charm for me.
Very, very cool.
I don't have any other. I think that's the only one that I have, and I guess also kind of sticking into my routine, making sure that I have plenty of time to work out, plenty of time to stretch, to meditate in the morning, and not being stressful with, timing and I'm late.
Awesome. I have one more question, and it's kind of going to bring us back, but to a little more philosophical approach, but just a way to segue into an ending, unless Ron's got some other stuff, I'll leave him with that after. But In the last 4 years, since you've been on tour since 2016, correct?
Yeah.
What is something, a belief, a behavior, a habit that you've incorporated into your life since being on tour that has improved your life?
This is a good one. And there's something for sure that has changed my perspective into professional golf, which is always have something or someone to look up to and to chase. So something that I'm looking up to is Scott, and someone that I'm chasing is Gabby Lopez in the next 3 years. Who's going to be that girl? How is my swing going to look like? How is my mental game going to look like? How is physically, how is Gabby going to be? And that's the one I'm chasing. And stop, you know, comparing myself to the world number one, to players that hit a mile or players that have something that I don't. And I think, you know, one of the things that we do that is not fair is comparing our weaknesses to someone's strengths, because we're always going to lose into that perspective. But if we compare our weaknesses today and our weaknesses into a year before, a year ago, that's a fair comparison. And so I'm always trying to stop comparing myself to someone else, but trying to improve my game, my mental, my emotional game to the next level for the next 1, 3, 5 years.
What a great answer. Look up to something and chase something. I wrote that down. I absolutely love that. And just be unquestionably faithfully to who you are, right? You can't change. You're never going to be somebody else. Just be Gabby, right? Just be Ron, just be, yeah, Casey. Really, really love that. So is that some advice that you would give to your rookie self then, to just, you know, not chase other people?
100%. Yeah. I think it's hard because media, because, you know, all this information, social media and the commercials of TV, everything kind of is comparing, oh, this player, Rory McIlroy, hits it over 50 yards over this guy or whoever player, you know, and being able to be fair with our comparisons, it's hard because it's a game full of stats. And the only fair comparison is, you know, how have I improved in my ball hitting into the last 4 years? And I think that has been why I've been having so much success the last couple of weeks and months, has been because I compared Gabby right now, who was Gabby in 2016? I mean, I was ranked 110th in the, you know, greens and regulation. And now last year I was 19th or 18th. So, I mean, those big changes have been the biggest push into my career and into my comparisons, learning how to compare yourselves. It's okay to see who's doing who and what's doing better, world number one or world number two. But if you can improve probably 0.1 or 0.5 shots of every single part of your game, I mean, rank-wise, you're going to go to the top so quickly.
The metric, a metaphor to life in golf, is like, don't measure yourself when you're playing golf. Play the golf course, play yourself. It doesn't matter what your opponents are doing. And it's the same thing when you're striving to be better. I'm not going to measure myself up against Ron. Ron's not going to measure myself up against me.
Right.
Let's try to get better at what we can control and what we can do day to day. Such great information.
Right. Try to look inside instead of trying to look outside.
So, so good. Ronnie, impactful buddy. What do you think over there?
Well, I think this is great. I just love talking to Gabby. I just have one question, talking about the future. I mean, when you start a job or a career, nobody puts an end date to when you're going to quit or retire. I know in sports it's a lot different because the younger crowd coming in, you got the risk of injuries and things like that. And, you know, your mentor, Lorena Cho, she retired after winning a tournament the very next Monday. I think she called it quit with a W in her back pocket. She already had plus 20 or so. I think she was on tour for 10 years or so. What do you have in mind for your legacy, and what do you hope people, you know, get out of your career? What kind of end date? Do you want to be a family person, kids in your future?
That's something that I've been asked a lot. And I think, you know, I'm going to play golf until my body lets me play golf. And that's right now my mindset. And that could change probably next month or the next year. But, you know, I've experienced 2 injuries and they've been really hard on my mind. And I'm trying just to take care of my body first and then my mind and all that comes with it. But yeah, I'm a family person. I love to have kids in the future. I'm not sure if I would have kids and then come back to play on tour. That's something that, as I don't know, in my culture in Mexico, it has been my mom was with me and my brothers, I mean, almost every time. And I love to, you know, I don't want to miss any stage of that. Who knows, I might come back. But I think, you know, having, this is one of the things that I try to do in everything I do is, if you're doing something, do it 100%. And I'm not sure if I'll be qualified to be a mom 100% when I'm playing golf. So we'll see. I don't know, but there's no kids or wedding plans in the near future. So we can discuss that for sure in the next 3 years.
Well, that's a great answer. Great answer. Yeah, family first for sure. And just stay healthy out there and play as long as you can. And, you know, exactly. you can always get a Mr. Mom and he could take care of the kids while you play the golf. Some women have been able to do it out there with kids. It's a hard role to do, but just stay who you are, stay true to yourself, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, sure.
Gabby, we are over the moon with this conversation. We are so grateful for you taking the time to chat with us. We're a new podcast, and you know, our mission is to just be out there on tour and bring light to the women's game and just continue to grow golf and just, you know, help show you ladies on a human level. And we're so grateful for your time. We really, really appreciate it. And just as we wrap up here, tell the listeners where they can find you, your handles, your websites, anything.
Yeah, you guys can find me in Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Gabby Lopez Golf. And that's very simple. And yeah, I have a website, which is GabbyLopez.net. And you can reach out me. You can contact me very easily throwing me an email. I love to see, you know, kids, emails. I love to see proposals. I love to see all kinds of information, especially in these quarantine days. I have plenty of time to respond and get back.
We hope we can get your inbox filled up with a few messages then too.
Sure.
Thanks again so much for your time, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you in Arkansas.
Yeah, hopefully. Go Hawks. Thank you so much, guys, for having me in the show.
Thank you very much, Gabby. Thank you. We're very proud of you. Mexico is too, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, guys.
Ron and I had such a blast recording that episode with Gabby Lopez. We really hope that you enjoyed the content. I don't believe you needed to be a golfer to necessarily get all the life nuggets of information out of that episode. So please, if you enjoyed it, go ahead, pass it along to a friend. Like it, share it, comment, and it really helps us get going, gain some traction, and jump up the ratings. Go ahead and say what's up on Twitter, Instagram, any of our social media platforms. We are at Let's Talk Divots, and we look forward to next week's episode. We are going to bring you another fantastic conversation. So stay safe out there in these strange times, and we will see y'all next week.